It's good to see everybody out this morning.
If you'll be turning in your Bibles to Luke 18, after you've marked the song, so we'll begin this morning. Luke 18. This morning we'd like to explore what it is that you most want from Jesus and how to obtain that. There's a great problem in the world around us, and that is that Satan blinds us from a lot of things. Most importantly, he blinds us from Jesus. And oftentimes, whenever we do see Jesus, he uses peer pressure and other means to keep us silent about seeing Jesus. Gotten into duck hunting the last few years, and I learned in a hurry, I guess, the limits of how quiet you need to be. I was kind of made fun of whenever I first got into it. Whenever I would see a duck, I'd get all hunched over and I'd get really quiet. And the guys that are, you know, veterans in the sport will, you know, be talking and keep quiet, but I would just try and be overly quiet. Well, I learned the limits of how loud you can be and when to get quiet and things like that. And there's just always that guy that just never learns those limits. And I might be that guy. You know, you might tell me afterwards, but there's always somebody who doesn't know how to be quiet whenever it's time to be quiet. And it might be a beginner, and they come out, and they might have a hat or something on their head that isn't meant for looking up into the sky and being able to see, and they don't see the ducks, and when they come in, they're just blinded from them, and when they do see them, they get so excited, there's the ducks, of course, that's gonna scare them off, and you're not going to be able to get anything. And I think oftentimes that's how Satan works with us. He blinds us from what we're wanting most to see. And whenever we do come about seeing it, we are just given peer pressure to keep quiet. Because the people that are in the boat with that excited hunter, they are telling him, be quiet. You're going to scare him off. And I think that's how Satan keeps us from talking about Jesus. He tempts us to keep quiet, using our friends, using our family, using our coworkers, using just fear to keep us quiet from talking about Jesus. There's a true story based on a man who went to law school, and they recently made a television show based on this man's life and the kids that he raised, and you may have heard of it, but this man, he went blind at the age of 11, I believe it was, and had to learn to do a lot of things completely blind, and ended up going to law school. And there's stories written about his kids and his kids growing up. And apparently, you can imagine how it must have been pretty hard to make an excuse to a parent who had been blind from the age of 11. You know, you'd say anything that might be hard or difficult, and the answer would always come back, I graduated from law school and I'm blind. You know, you can't get away with much of anything with that kind of parent. A son once said that it's hard to complain about something being hard with this dad around. I think so oftentimes blindness keeps us from doing many things. And as we get into Luke chapter 18, as we get down to verse 31, right in between Jesus and the narratives that he talks about, it being impossible for, seemingly impossible for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. And we talked about how it was seemingly impossible, according to man anyway, for a rich man to obtain the kingdom of heaven. But with God, all things are possible. In between that narrative and what we're going to look at this morning, Jesus makes a prediction that Luke records for us right here in verse 31 and following. Then he took the 12 aside and he said to them there in verse 31, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. For he will be delivered to the Gentiles and will be mocked and insulted and spit upon. They will scourge him and kill him. And the third day he will rise again. You might think this seems a little out of place of the narrative between the stories that are being told here. Luke goes on to record there in verse 34, they didn't understand none of these things. Or they understood none of these things. This saying was hidden from them, and they did not know the things which were spoken. Now, I think Luke is wanting to remind the reader of the ultimate purpose of this book, and that is leading Jesus to Jerusalem, leading Jesus to be crucified, Jesus on the road. And as we see the next part in the story, as the disciples and as Jesus goes on, we see him getting closer and closer as he comes to Jericho there in verse 35. We see the story going on. And Luke wanting to keep in the back of the reader's minds, the back of the people's minds who is going to be reading this gospel, that Jesus is on his way. And these stories that are taking place, these things that Jesus are making happen, are all leading up to that pinnacle moment of Jesus' time on earth. And so in verse 35 and following, we see the story of a blind beggar. And Mark gives the name of this blind beggar, Bartimaeus. And apparently this was a well-known beggar who was a blind man, because even Mark in chapter 10 mentions his dad's name, Timaeus. And so a very well-known blind person who's begging for money. And so as Luke records the story here, beginning in verse 35, he wrote, "Then it happened, as he was coming near Jericho, that a certain blind man sat by the road begging. And hearing a multitude passing by, he asked what it meant. So they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he cried out, saying, 'Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me.' Then those who went before him warned that he should be quiet. But he cried out all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he had come near, he asked him, saying, 'What do you want me to do for you?' He said, 'Lord, that I may receive my sight.' Then Jesus said to him, 'Receive your sight, your faith has made you well.' And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God." The blind man apparently had a very keen sense of hearing. If you jump back up to the first few verses that we read here, obviously he can't see anything. This wasn't just a faker trying to get money, trying to take advantage of people. This man was legitimately blind, and he could hear some sort of commotion going on. This multitude of people that was following Jesus, he could hear it, and he was wondering what was going on. It's amazing they say that people that have lost one of their senses, their other senses are heightened. And apparently this man had this good sense of hearing about him, and he heard the people, and he realized, once they told him what the commotion was, once this multitude had passed, who it was that they were following, all of a sudden he starts crying out. And you can imagine that the people that knew him well, obviously Mark knew him well by name, and the other gospel writers and other people around knew him, and they were kind of embarrassed of what was going on. Because this blind beggar, who obviously people kind of looked down upon because he had this disability, and they thought, you know what, just keep quiet. Just keep doing what you're doing. Just beg for your money and go about business. Don't disturb anything. Just keep quiet. But this apparently just urged the man to cry out even louder. These hushes didn't get him down. The people telling him to be quiet didn't stop him from pleading even more when Jesus was passing by, because he knew what it was specifically that he was wanting. He had heard about Jesus. He had heard about the things that he had done. Jesus had healed other blind people, and so maybe Bartimaeus was in the hopes that maybe he'll heal me as well. Maybe as he's coming and passing through Jericho, I might be one of the blessed ones that he touches and heals my sight as well. And so he didn't let these people's hushes stop him from pleading for what he wanted most in his life and asking Jesus specifically for it. I think it's interesting that as Bartimaeus was pleading out to Jesus, and Jesus obviously heard this man crying out. Can you imagine the Son of God giving you anything that your heart desires, has that ability to give you anything that you want, what you most want? How loud you would be screaming at the top of your lungs, trying to get his attention. And so Jesus heard the man, at whatever distance it may have been, crying out, trying to get his attention. And so what does Jesus do? It's very interesting that Jesus utilizes others to bring Bartimaeus to him. And I think as we consider coming to Jesus in our walk in life, that is going to happen with the help of others. Because God is utilizing others around us to show us His Son. He's utilizing you and me in the world around us to show others Jesus. As there are so many needs in the world around us, people have all sorts of needs, but the one thing that they need most, and they might not even realize it, is salvation. And as people are out there searching, sometimes maybe even seemingly grasping at air because they're not sure of what it is that they're needing, God is trying to utilize you to show them Jesus. And Jesus didn't get into this deep, long discussion with Bartimaeus. He just asked him a simple question. What is it that you want from me? And the question is very simple for us as we study this story of Bartimaeus' interaction with Jesus. What is it that you want from God? What is it that you want from Jesus? See, Bartimaeus, he knew from the get-go. He knew as soon as he heard that multitude coming and he was wondering what it was. As soon as he heard, it's because Jesus is coming. Bartimaeus knew exactly what it was he wanted. And I think that goes to show that in our walks, as we come across people that have these needs, that have these desires, that have these wants, and they maybe come seeking Jesus, and maybe they've seen Jesus in you, you need to be able to ask them that question. What is it that you want? And hopefully you're ready to give that answer for the hope that they found within you, like Peter talked about, always being ready to give an answer for that hope that people see in you. And maybe you haven't seen Jesus in your life this morning, and you're thinking, man, what is it that I do really want? The question is very simple, even today for us. What is it that you want? Bartimaeus, it was his sight. And as we see in the story that Jesus grants Bartimaeus this wish, if you will, this want, this need is what he thought. And it's very interesting that as Jesus tells Bartimaeus there in verse 42, to receive his sight, your faith has made you well. It wasn't just a matter of receiving his sight and his faith that was responsible for that. But there's something more going on in the text than just Bartimaeus simply being able to now see all the colors around him. Being able to see the deep, rich colors in the city. Being able to see all the different colors of the fruits and the vegetables on the roadside. It was more than just being able to see that miracle of vision. If you'll turn back to the previous chapter. And I want to recall the story of Jesus and the 10 lepers. And as we see down in verse 11, as Jesus is healing these 10 lepers come to Jesus, seeking healing, that Jesus does just that. He gives them this physical healing, as you remember. And as they went away, there was only one that returned to him. Down in verse 18, Jesus says, were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And then he said in verse 19, the very same language, the very same term that he uses with Bartimaeus. Go your way, your faith has made you well. And if you remember the two levels of restoration that Jesus gave this foreign leper, Jesus gives to Bartimaeus, this blind beggar. Not only the physical healing of his sight, not only was he able to now see everything all around him and be able to take it all in through his eyes that we so often take for granted, but he said the very same thing to that one leper who came back. Your faith has made you well. A different word that Jesus used with the leper between a physical healing and a spiritual healing. He used that spiritual healing word here with Bartimaeus as well. Your faith has made you well. Another place in the New Testament, the same word that is used is saved. Your faith has saved you. And that's literally what Jesus is telling blind Bartimaeus. Because of his faith, he has been saved. He received not only this physical healing, but the spiritual that went along with it. How did this man's faith make him well? How did Bartimaeus' faith save him, you might ask? I think it's very important for us to point out that for one thing, he kept his ears open. As he was sitting there on the roadside, Bartimaeus knew before he even heard the crowd coming what it was that he wanted, and he was listening for it. He was multitasking, if you will. He was trying to make a living by getting some money from others because he didn't have the ability to see and maybe was restricted on certain levels of work. So he kept his ears open. He was always listening for that opportunity. And as we consider how we're to be made well, how our faith is to save us. It starts by that hearing. You know, we go through the steps of salvation, and oftentimes we start with belief. If you look at some of the other steps of salvation, it starts with hearing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And that's exactly where Bartimaeus started. He started with his ears. He started by listening. And as he was sitting there with maybe the only hope being that possibly Jesus will be coming this way, and maybe he had heard that Jesus was on his way there, and he was keeping his ears open, it starts by that. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And he wanted to hear what Jesus had to say to him. That was the beginning of how Bartimaeus' faith made him well. But he also trusted in the mercy of Jesus. He came to Jesus, not with some doubt that he had heard of these things, and you know what, that's just hearsay, that's just rumor. I don't believe it for a second. This man came with a legitimate trust that Jesus was going to do what he had the power to do. And he believed, he put faith in that mercy. And that faith is what made him well. Bartimaeus didn't just go about usual business, though. After Jesus made him well, what does he do? That last verse that we looked at, there in verse 43, immediately he received his sight and followed him. See, it wasn't just a matter of coming to Jesus. It wasn't just a matter of hearing about Jesus and putting his trust in Jesus, but it was a matter of following after Jesus as well. It was that follow-up that was also important. And not only did he follow Jesus, but he glorified God. It was this ongoing glorification. It wasn't just this one time, I'm going to praise God, I'm going to follow Jesus until he leaves the city, but I'm going to follow Jesus forever. And I'm going to glorify God forever. You see how the word is used there? Glorifying God? It doesn't say he glorified God that one time in the past and he never did it again. It was an ongoing glorifying of God. All these things factored into how Bartimaeus and his faith made him well. When people saw him, they also gave praise to God. Bartimaeus made it obvious in his life, the way he walked, the way he talked from that point on, that it was because of God, it was because of the Son of God that I have been made well, that I have been saved. And others could obviously see that in him. The very last thing that Luke records for us, when they saw it, they gave praise to God. And so not only did Bartimaeus keep his ears open, not only did Bartimaeus put his faith in the mercy of Jesus, not only did Bartimaeus do whatever Jesus did, he followed Jesus on a daily basis. Not only did he praise him once, but he continued glorifying him. He led others to faith in Jesus as well. And I think that's what we can learn from Bartimaeus, that once we see Jesus, once we have put our faith in Jesus, we can't stop there. Because the problem still persists. Even though the solution was solved for Bartimaeus, even though he could now receive his sight, the one thing that he wanted most in life had now been taken care of. He didn't stop there because the problem still continued. That Satan blinds us from Jesus. Even though Satan had blinded Bartimaeus from Jesus, and once Bartimaeus heard about Jesus, once Bartimaeus saw Jesus, he did not allow those people to keep him down. He didn't allow him to keep him down before he was healed. And I can imagine that after he received the miracle of his sight, that he didn't allow people to keep him quiet about Jesus after that. And too often, once we see Jesus, we're tempted by others, by peer pressure, by our jobs, whatever it might be, to keep quiet about Jesus. Don't say anything. Hush. And yet the lesson from Bartimaeus is that others could see Jesus living in him. And so the question for us is, can it be seen in us? Can he be seen in our living, in our talking, in our conversations with others? The way that we treat others, can others hear about Jesus? There's a game that I grew quite fond of, and many of you may have played it before. It's a game called Pit. And the game is based, it's just a card game, and it's kind of based on buying and trading things in the stock market. And the object of the game is to get seven of a kind or something like that of the same card. and there's multiple people in the game, and you try and yell out what card it is you're wanting. What is it that you're wanting? And you're just trading and you're trading. And as soon as somebody gets that designated number, all of the same card, then they ring the bell and they've won the round. They've won the hand. And if somebody's sitting there and they haven't quite figured out what it is that they need, they just kind of keep quiet. I played with a guy one time who he would just kind of like to stir the pot on things. And his objective was not to win the game, but his objective was simply to get one of each card in his hand. That way nobody could win the game. And so he would just sit there and be quiet. So nobody could win the game. But the object of the game, in order to win the game, in order to succeed in the game, you had to get loud. You had to tell everybody what you had to offer so that you could get it, what you needed in return. And the same goes with our spiritual walk with Jesus. If we're not yelling it from the mountaintop, if we're not shouting it like Bartimaeus was, telling everybody what Jesus has to offer, then nobody is going to be able to gain the victory in faith. God has designated each of us to show and tell others about Him. And so the solution to the problem about Satan blinding us, and whenever we do see Jesus, whenever we have that opportunity to come to Jesus, we're tempted to just keep quiet about it. The solution is having a specific answer for when the question comes. What is it that you want most from Jesus? Bartimaeus had the specific answer. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus is asking us the same question that he asked Bartimaeus. What is it that you want Jesus to do for you? If you're sitting here this morning and you haven't received your spiritual sight, you're sitting here blind because you haven't come to Jesus. You've now heard about Jesus. It's now time to put your trust in the mercy that He has to offer. It's time to follow after Him. It's time to turn away from that old life that you were living. Have your sins washed away. It's time to praise Him. It's time to go about glorifying Him. And whenever you raise from those watery grave of baptism, it's time to show others about Him. It's that time. And maybe you're sitting here and you've heard about Jesus and you're doing everything that you can to come to Him. Don't let the temptation of the world around you keep you from coming to Jesus. Or maybe you've been here this morning, heard this sermon, and you've seen Jesus in the past, and you've fallen back into blindness. Satan has tempted you once again to keep quiet about Jesus. He's tempted you once again to fall back into that lifestyle that you once had repented of, and you want to come back to Jesus. You want to rededicate your life to Him. You've heard. It's time to trust. It's time to follow. It's time to glorify. And it's time to bring others with you. As together we stand and sing.